in verse number 5. Tonight's where I want to begin, take our text from, and then also want to turn to Psalm 57 and 10. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 5 says, "And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." And then in Psalm 57 and 10, it says, "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." Praise our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I want to preach tonight on something to shout about. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you've got to realize that God desires His people to be excited about what He's doing. Hallelujah. And in Joshua chapter 6, verse number 5, we're talking about when God delivers the city of Jericho into the hands of the children of Israel. And you're probably familiar with the story of how they marched around the city 6 days, one time each day. But then on the seventh day, they were supposed to march around 7 times. And then, verse number 5 comes into action, when they hear the long blast with the ram's horn and the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Wow. Praise God. Now I want you to know, I don't believe that it was the shout that made the wall fall down. Although, when you look at the words that were used, "all the people shall shout," that word was ruah. It meant tomorrow, there we go, especially by breaking, figuratively, to split the ears, wow, with sound. That's powerful. You got to realize how many people were gathered together marching around that city. Now, how many's ever experienced or viewed or heard that person that can hit that particular octave that a shattered glass? Now, it's not a is it? It's not a soft sound, is it? Not if it's going to shatter glass. And so God is saying, this is the volume part of this command, of how loud they were supposed to get. They were to get loud enough that it would split the ears. Wow. That's what that first shout means. That's how loud it was supposed to be. So he didn't tell them to go, hey, hello. No. Now, this was a battle cry. This was a shout of victory. And so this first word shout gives us the volume to split the ears, to break something with your voice. Hallelujah. And then the second, with a great shout, is talking about what kind of shout it was. It was a shout of triumph. It was a shout of joy. Do you realize a shout of triumph and a shout of joy are actually the same thing? Because triumph brings joy. Hallelujah. And so this actually took great faith on the part of the children of Israel, because they believed what God said, and this is how he said he wanted it done. He wanted to split the ears of the people of Jericho with the shout of joy. Woo. Hallelujah. You ever hurt the eardrums of the devil? Because you're not going to bother God by getting loud. Because that's what he wants. He wants to hear the praises of his people. Hallelujah. And the thing is God understands and God knows the intent of the heart. And even if we whisper a prayer, God hears that prayer. But here God is revealing what he really wants the world to see. He wants the world to see the joy of our salvation. He wants the world to hear about the joy of our salvation. He wants you and I to speak it loudly. Hallelujah. So all the world can hear who God is, and especially who he is to you and me. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Because see, church, you and I have got something to shout about. You and I have got a message that needs proclaimed. You and I have got a joy that the world does not have. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God has called us to share it. To share it with all those that are around us. Hallelujah. I'm sure you've heard the different stories from time to time of the particular gentlemen that were worked in the same place with each other for 25, 30 years. And at the end, they were having their going away party. And after 25 or 30 years, they finally kind of got together and realized they were both believers. I think they forgot to shout about something. How about you? I think they forgot to share the joy of their salvation. How about you? You see, the reality, they should know something's going on. And the reality is you should be sharing it with them. Hallelujah. You should be sharing about the goodness of God and the power of God and the love of God and the joy of your salvation and the hope that you have. Hallelujah. Of the coming of the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. You see, it's not a matter of trying to put somebody in their place. It's a matter of just showing them the place you are. Hallelujah. Showing them where you're at in your walk with God by the joy and the praise and not being shy about it. Woo. I realize there's a time to be quiet. Then there's also a time to shout. Woo, hallelujah. And we got to realize and understand which times are which. And we can't pull back from either one. Hallelujah. Now, I've been pastoring long enough that I have found that some people just love to be quiet. And some people just love to be loud. I'm one of the loud ones. Praise God. And what I have found through the years is a lot of times God takes the loud ones and says, I want you quiet. But he'll take the quiet ones and say, I want you loud. Woo! Why? Because it's not convenient for us to be loud if we're a quiet person. And it's not convenient for us to be soft if we're a loud person. And what God's trying to do is get it all under his control. Woo! Hallelujah. So if you're soft-spoken, it's time to get loud. And if you're loud-spoken, it's time to get soft. Woo! Praise God. Because we have something to shout about. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to get to, is what we want to shout about. Psalms 57:10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens. Whew, hallelujah. So how big is this mercy? How much mercy is there? Hallelujah. From here to the heavens. Glory to God. And his truth unto the clouds. It's a long ways up there to them clouds. Hallelujah. And that's how much truth. Praise God. So you see, we've got something to shout about, and we've got something to share. And this is one of the most important parts of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the mercy and the truth. Hallelujah. And so we see that mercy is kind or forgiving treatment of someone who should be treated harshly. Basically, they don't deserve it, but mercy gives it anyway. Woo! Kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad and desperate situation. Is there any room for the "I told you so" attitude in a Christian's life? Woo! You see, as a Christian, we know what wrong decisions are going to bring. We know, and we watch individuals make wrong decisions, and we know what it's going to bring. Can we keep mercy full in our heart and our mind when they come back from making the wrong choice? Or do we have "I told you so"? What is that? That's pride. That's esteeming yourself greater than that other person. Yeah. Yeah, but Brother Pepper, they did wrong. I didn't do wrong. What difference does that make? Thank God you didn't do wrong. But if someone does wrong, do you esteem them less? No. Correct answer. Hallelujah. For not the grace of God, you may make the same mistake. And 9 times out of 10, you may have already had in your past. Woo! Was anybody perfect before they got saved? Was anybody perfect after you got saved? Or is everyone striving for perfection? Woo! Hallelujah. Some are more loud about their striving. Some are a little more soft about their striving. But yet we're striving for perfection because of mercy and truth. It has visited our lives. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy, truth. Truth is stability, certainty, trustworthiness, faithful, right. God's truth, God's stability, God's trustworthiness, God's righteousness goes under the clouds, the vastness thereof. But yet, mercy is there to help you and I come into that truth. Because without mercy, nobody would be saved. Nobody would have their sins washed away. No one would be able to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because it was that mercy of God moving first towards my life that gave me any illumination at all that I needed to call on the name of the Lord, that I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. And this is why the world needs mercy and the world needs truth. Hallelujah. It's truth that does set men free, but that truth has got to be ministered with mercy. Because you find them hand in hand through the Scripture. This particular use of mercy and truth is found in 22 verses together. It's first found in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27. And it says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." That's the first mention of mercy and truth together. And that was Abraham's servant as he was going to get a bride for Isaac. And it was a reference to how God dealt with Abraham in mercy and in truth, and led that servant right to where he needed to be, to the woman he needed to find. And then it's found in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 3. And it says, "Grace be unto you, mercy, peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Bottom line, truth without mercy destroys. But mercy with truth brings life. Brings life. It's the life that's in you. It's the life that's in me. It's the life that God brings to you and me. Hallelujah. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So now you find a little bit different terminology, but you find grace and truth coupled through Jesus Christ. Verse 17 of the same chapter, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. That grace of God, that truth, hallelujah, bringing it into the proper perspective of truth. Hallelujah. You see, mercy and truth operate in the lives of the obedient and also in the lives of the disobedient. Whoa. Psalm 25 and 8. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." It's amazing what happens when men and women encounter mercy and truth. The result is the last verse that I read. "For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Hallelujah. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory, His train filled the temple? He said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." Whoa, hallelujah. See, in other words, when mercy and truth become manifested in our lives, we begin to realize who we are, what we are, where we are, and what we need. Woo, hallelujah. This is what God has been doing in these services that we've been having. Mercy and truth is being poured out. And those that begin to enter into that presence of God, that manifestation of the Spirit of God, that love of God coming down, that mercy of God coming down, that grace of God coming down, that power of God coming down, we come forth, truth getting a hold of our hearts, and we say, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is me, for I've not been doing right. Woe is me, because I've not had right attitudes. Woe is..." Are you getting the picture? We got something to shout about. Woo, hallelujah. Because mercy and truth are coming our direction, and God is dealing in our hearts and in our minds to bring us into a greater power with Him and a greater walk with Him. Hallelujah. And a greater power and a greater walk means greater results in the kingdom of God. And you see, He's moving on the obedient and disobedient. Hallelujah. Because that's mercy. He'll bless those that are obedient, and He'll touch those that are disobedient, bringing them into obedience. Praise our God. That's mercy. And truth is the catalyst that moves us. Praise our God. You see, that's something I've always tried to encourage individuals. When they move into the presence of the Lord, don't just experience the joy thereof. Go ahead and tarry there a little while, and God will talk to you. Because that's what He desires to do. He desires to talk to you and I, hallelujah, while we're in His presence, while we're in His power, so there won't be any doubt in our hearts and in our minds whether or not it's God. I'm afraid too many times we don't tarry long enough in the presence. We feel good and we stop. But God's wanting us to feel good. That's the joy. But He doesn't want us to stop. He wants us to linger so we can hear. And He can begin to talk and reveal those things that need attention in our lives. Now, you've already admitted to me that you're not perfect. I've already admitted to you I'm not perfect. And that we're striving for perfection. So how does this perfection happen? Do we make it happen? Just by forcing ourselves to read God's Word? Does that make us perfect? Is that how perfection happens? Just coming to church, is that how perfection happens? Just praying around the altar, is that how perfection happens? How does perfection happen? When you and I enter into the presence of a holy God and we encounter mercy and truth, woo, hallelujah, that's when perfection begins to happen. That's when all those things that really shouldn't be there get revealed to us. All right, now it's time to become proactive. Now it's time to do something about what God's told me. Now it's my turn. Hallelujah. Now it's your turn. Once God has begun to speak, once God has begun to deal, once God has begun to reveal, now it's time for us to get proactive and get it under the blood. Hallelujah. Get it under the blood and get it going in our lives the right way. Woo! Hallelujah. Striving for perfection. It will bring you and I to the place of joy. And we will begin to share it. Hallelujah. Everywhere we go, the goodness of God. Not condemning others because they have not arrived, but encouraging others for higher ground. There's higher ground. There's more to be had. Hallelujah. And God moves on the obedient and the disobedient with that mercy and with that truth. Psalm 57:3, He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. Hallelujah. Those that are distressed. Anybody in here ever had some stress going on? Those that are distressed, those that are under attack of the enemy, God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. See, a lot of times, God's not just speaking to us about problems in our lives. Sometimes He's speaking to us about those things we're fearing. Those things that are attacking us, those lies of the enemy, and He lifts us up, hallelujah, encourages our heart, and reestablishes that faith in our hearts and in our minds, hallelujah, that we can make it, we will go on, and we will overcome, hallelujah. You see, just moves in so many ways, just depends on what's going on in our lives, how mercy and truth are going to affect you and I. Hallelujah. Psalm 86:15, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Woo! Hallelujah. Where would I be without the Lord? Where would I be without these characteristics of my God? Oh, hallelujah, because I would not be able to make it at all. If God was not full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Psalms 117:2. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Something to shout about. Something to shout about. That mercy endures forever. It's not going to run out. And church, whether we realize it or not, we're going to need it all the way to the trumpet sound or all the way to the grave. We're going to need mercy and truth to direct our path and keep us in the path. Hallelujah. And keep us walking in the Spirit of God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Praise his holy name. Psalms 115:1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. God never did another thing for me. If God never answered another prayer for me, I'd still be praising him for his mercy and his truth. Hallelujah. See, that praise is not dependent on how well it's going for me. That praise is dependent on how much I realize God is doing for me. Hallelujah. The mercy that he has. How many have ever read about those angels that are encamped around us? Woo, hallelujah. That mercy, that truth. I mean, the things God does for us every day that we don't even realize God did it. The benefits of serving the Lord. The benefits of perfection. Hallelujah. Pressing towards the prize. The high calling of our God. Hallelujah. Leaving the past behind. Leaving what I've experienced before. And pressing on to the high calling of my God. You see, because all of his attributes, characteristics are higher. Always higher. Than I am. Woo! You see, that is the detriment of thinking I've obtained and that I've gone somewhere. Rejoice in mercy and in truth, but realize there's more mercy and truth to come. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. That growing in that grace and that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it just doesn't stop. When it stops, that's usually when problems arise. That's usually when carnality happens. That's usually when I start thinking the wrong way instead of thinking the right way. That's usually when I start listening to the lies of the enemy instead of the truths that mercy and truth are bringing. Wow. Have you ever wondered why some people waited so long to get saved? Have you ever wondered why you may have waited so long to get saved when you knew all along it was God talking to you? It does amaze this pastor what us human beings are capable of in resistance to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, resistance. Even as Christians, sometimes we resist the Spirit of God. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. We're Christian. Oh, come on now. Don't tell me you've never resisted the Spirit of God. I've heard it too many times in testimonies of how God had been dealing with you about something and you finally said yes. What were you doing? You was resisting the Spirit of God. Why do you think the Scripture speaks out? Grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. That means you and I are very well capable of doing those things. Resisting the Holy One from heaven. Oh, wasn't that said about someone kicking against the pricks? Woo! Yeah. Oh. Oh. Lord. Oh. I know, Lord. Have you ever found that in your time of prayer? Lord, I know. Oh, Lord, I know. Lord, I know. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord. I'm doing it. Proactive. Hallelujah. God's not concerned about what you know. He's concerned about what you're doing. Woo, hallelujah. Be not a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. Hallelujah. See, that's what God's looking for in his times of visitation, of his mercy and his truth, is for you and I then become proactive in what he's been talking about to us on a personal plane. Wow. I don't know about you, but God's been talking to me. Hallelujah. And he's been speaking to me. Here's a song. I'm not sure who really wrote it. I realize different ones have sung it. But it was called Mercy Rewrote My Life. Now, I realize a lot of times we think our life's okay. But I have found from God's word that no matter where we're at in our walk with God, it's always an upward climb. It's always a going forward. It's always a going higher. It's always a going deeper. It may sound like it's down, but in the kingdom of God, it's not. It's going up. Hallelujah. And so mercy, the song's writer put it like this: for years, I traveled a road all wrong. My heart had lost every joy, every song, till grace placed me right where I belong, when mercy rewrote my life. The renewing of the mind. Sometimes I'm traveling the road all wrong, even as a Christian. But mercy is going to come, and he's going to rewrite my life. And you'll notice I say he. Because who is mercy? None other than Jesus Christ. Who is truth? None other than Jesus Christ. And I mean, he's going to rewrite my life. How many realize when you start losing your joy and you start losing your song? You know what it means to lose your joy and lose your song? That just means, you know, there's just nothing there. You know, you're singing about the greatness of God, and there's just nothing there. I mean, you're singing about the holiness of God, and singing about the power of the blood. That means you're walking the road all wrong. And the Lord has pulled himself back by mercy and truth so that you'll realize there's no joy, there's no song. Song talks about the shout. When I'm saying shout here, I'm not talking about just running around the church. I'm not talking about just dancing. I'm talking about something that is within that you've just got to share. Hallelujah. Because it's there. Praise God. That joy and that song that mercy brings when I realize I'm traveling the road all wrong. Woo, hallelujah. Praise our God. And mercy rewrote my life. Next verse is, my mistakes God turned into miracles. Every tear was turned into joy. My sins forgiven, a new name was written when mercy rewrote my life. This is talking about now I've moved with mercy. Now my past mistakes is turning around and becoming miracles. Why? Because he rewrote my life. And now those mistakes can turn into testimonies of the grace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, the truths of God, as mercy is rewriting my life. And then the chorus, mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. The reality, if I'm going down the wrong road and mercy never intervenes, I'll head right to hell. Unless mercy rewrites my life. Unless mercy and truth visit me on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Mercy rewrote my life. Hallelujah. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gloominess. Well, I got a smile out of you one way or the other, didn't I? Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Hallelujah. Do you realize singing is just an expression of the soul, of the joy that you have, and singing is a way to express that joy? Hallelujah. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That means we belong to Him and not to ourselves. Hallelujah. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Woo. Hallelujah. Something to shout about. Hallelujah. Something to share. The mercy of God, the truths of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to kind of listen to this, and you've probably known this, you've probably heard this, but it astounded people how Hitler could conquer his nation and get them led into such error. But here was his philosophy. You tell a lie loud enough, you tell a lie often enough, and you tell a lie long enough, everybody's going to believe it. But I want to turn that around. You tell people about mercy and truth loud enough. You tell them about God often enough. And you tell them about God, that mercy and truth, long enough, you're going to get them saved. Woo, hallelujah. See, what it is we don't do it loud enough. We don't do it often enough. And we get weary and wore out and think, what's the use? No, no, no. Keep on keeping on. Keep on preaching on. Keep on singing on. Keep on rejoicing on. Never give up. It's not in the vocabulary of a child of God. Just keep telling it loud. Just keep telling it often. And keep telling it long enough. Woo! Tell them about it every day. Often. Hallelujah. Praise God. Loud. Glory. I'm just going to step right in here to this moment just to help someone. Maybe it's just me because I'm hard of hearing. But when you testify, talk loud. I love the Lord and I thank Him for saving my soul. And I thank Him for what He's doing in my life. I'd like to hear what's really going on, and sometimes I don't hear what everybody says. And we got Facebook going on back there, and they're definitely not going to hear it if you don't raise your voice. So make it a purpose and a proactive thing that when you testify, you are heard. And it will help you that when you're out there in the world, that when you begin to start talking about the goodness of God and the mercy and the truth of God, you'll be loud about it. Woo, hallelujah. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For it has the power to save. Glory to God. And I'm not ashamed of mercy and truth. It has always astounded me and humored me how most people that don't like to get loud, every time they get mad, they get louder than anything I've ever heard. They don't like to be loud. But you get them upset, frustrated, and mad, and they get there, holler, and they carry on. But I'm a quiet person. No, what you're telling me is you're quiet when you want to be, and you're loud when you don't want to be. And what God's asking you to do is be loud for Him. Woo! Because it's something to shout about. It's something to lift your voice about. Hallelujah. It's something to proclaim. Hallelujah. That break the eardrums. that a mar, that a break the glass, shout. And then he said, with a great, not just the triumph shout, but with a great triumph shout. See, some people, you don't know whether they got victory or not. Because they never express it. They never show it. They never shout about their victory. Wow. And God says, I want that. That's what I want. I want you to lift your voice unto me. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is that? That's a testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm going to close. Someone's coming to the piano. I want to tell it loud. I want to tell it often. And I want to keep on telling it. The mercy and truth. Why? Because it's enduring to all generations. And mercy is everlasting. And it is the power of God that needs to move in the lives of men and women on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. They need mercy and they need truth. Hallelujah. In other words, they need someone that is going to look beyond their fault, to lay a hold of their need, and as Brother Jason preached, stand in that gap, hallelujah, and rise up for them. Hallelujah. As Brother Cisneros preached, I want to be part of that 1%. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Praise God. I've got to become proactive in my walk with God. Because I thoroughly believe when I get proactive in my walk with God, I will become proactive in evangelism. But evangelism depends and hinges upon my walk with God. And if my walk with God is in jeopardy, then my evangelism is sunk. Because I've got to have the joy. I've got to have the peace. I've got to have the power. I've got to have the confidence. I've got to have the boldness. Woo! Hallelujah. I've got to be able to stand up and share in love. Wow. The goodness of my God. I can't shy away from it. I can't be, oh. No. I got to stand up and smile. God is so good. And God's mercy and God's truth is everlasting. And God's mercy and God's truth, well, it'll rewrite your life. It'll change you. You just need to encounter this man named Jesus. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 7, it said, as you go, preach. As you go, preach. This is what you need to say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Help me, Jesus. Peter and John walked by that lame man on the way to prayer. Looked upon him and he saw that. He thought, all right, I'm going to get my day's meal today. Poor Peter was broke as broke could be. But he did say, silver and gold have I none. What I have, I give to you. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter didn't stand there and wait for him to get up. Peter reached down, grabbed hold of him, said, let's go. Woo! Why? Because that's what Peter had. That's what Peter had. I'm not preaching to you tonight. You need to be out there healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, or raising the dead. What I'm preaching is, have you got Jesus? And what you have, are you giving it to somebody else? Because freely you have received what you have. And what you have give it. My knowledge, I haven't seen the dead raised in my ministry. I have seen the sick healed. I've seen God bring people off a deathbed. I've seen several miracles. Hallelujah. But see, the factor is not on what I don't have. The factor is what I have. Am I giving that away? Freely you have received. So freely give what you got. And you will begin to find, as you become freely givers of what God has given to you, He will give you more. Woo. Hallelujah. So I cannot stand here and condemn anybody who's not healing the sick or cleansing the lepers or raising the dead, because you may not have reached that point yet. Doesn't mean you won't. But whatever you do have, you need to be giving it to somebody else. Hallelujah. You need to be shouting about the greatness of our God. You need to be proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ still saves. He's still on the throne. He's still alive and well, and He is about to return. Is that what you're telling everybody? Is that what you're telling people? Luke 6:31, "And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise." Hallelujah. If you were lost, would you want somebody to help you? If you were lost and going down a wrong road, would you want somebody to share mercy and truth with you? You would never think of it like that. I'm so glad somebody did for me. Someone began to pray for me. Hallelujah. There's no telling who all had prayed for me all my life. But then when God began to move in a greater way, how many people begin to stand in the gap and just begin to share the goodness of an almighty God? I can remember standing in my first Pentecostal church service, a Lutheran boy, totally ignorant to Pentecost, totally ignorant to the rapture of the church, totally ignorant to the born-again experience, watching the Spirit of God begin to move. And I've seen it in this sanctuary. Folks, eyes get this big. Whoa. What in the world is this? There was one brother, he was probably maybe 6'6". Pretty good size. I mean, he launched out walking around that church in a Jericho march. And I'm going, oh my, what has my wife got me into? But at that same moment, mercy and truth began to grip my heart. And even though I didn't understand it, even though I didn't agree with it, I knew inside of me something about that was real and something about that was God. And from that point, God began to work in my heart and in my life. I can remember standing in the pew during song service. I'd close my eyes. Never was really able to sing in the Lutheran church. They always had it in the wrong key. Never could sing in the Lutheran church. Wanted to sing, couldn't ever sing. They just never played it in the right key. We went to a Pentecostal church and they put it in the right key. I began to sing. And I can remember standing there, singing, closing my eyes, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling something I'd never felt before. And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm floating off the floor. And I open my eyes and I look down to the floor just to make sure I'm not. Once again, I am realizing that God is in this place. Well, I didn't immediately run to the altar. I didn't immediately get saved. No, I was too full of pride. I didn't want to admit that I wasn't a Christian. Well, I'd been raised in church all my life. But I wasn't one. I wanted to be one. That was the thing. All my life, I really wanted to be a Christian. But no one would share mercy and truth with me, Brother Cisneros. No one would help me encounter the mercy and truth of my God. But as I stood there in that Pentecostal church, mercy and truth began to rewrite my life. Whew, hallelujah. And it wasn't very long. That mercy and that truth took me to that altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Make a long story short, he saved me. Later on, he filled me with the Holy Ghost, called me to preach, hallelujah, and just began to continually move in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. Mercy and truth became my joy. Hallelujah. It became my desire. It became what I pursued. Pursuing God, his mercy, his truth. Just walking with him. Just wanting to know him. The power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. And I can stand right here this evening before you and say, it's still there. Mercy and truth is still there. I still want to walk, oh, in the power of his resurrection. I still want to know him in greater measures and greater ways. And he is showing me. Hallelujah. He is showing me. Hallelujah. So we've all got something to shout about. We've all got something to lift our voice in thanksgiving about. Hallelujah. Because no matter where we're at in our walk with God, we've come this far by faith. We've come this far by grace. We've come this far by mercy and truth moving in our lives. Hallelujah. And we are learning to begin to lift our voices about it. Praise our God. Could we stand to our feet again this evening? Hallelujah. Let us lift our hands in thanksgiving, because we've got so much to be thankful for. Oh, God of heaven, I rejoice and I give you praise. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, for your truth. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that it's everlasting. It's going to take me all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to keep me true. It's going to keep me solid. It's going to keep me spiritual. Hallelujah. Oh, because you'll not leave me alone, Lord. If I get to walking down the wrong road, God, you're gonna begin to direct my path. You're going to begin to move. You're going to begin to work. You're going to begin to talk. Hallelujah. Your mercy and your truth is going to show up. Oh, praise our God. Praise our God.
Lord, you found me. You healed me. You called me from the grave. You gave me your real love. Thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love, thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven, you came.